Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody. I don't know if I'm late in welcoming Celia and Van, but they officially identified with wanting to work and worship with us here at South Valley this morning, and they've only been here like 22 years, and but today was the day. But you know, one thing, I like that concept. They wanted to check this congregation out fully. I appreciate that. And I'm assuming they found that this is a sound, friendly congregation. So we're glad of that. Glad to have you. We're going to look at Psalm 55 tonight, if you'd like to open your Bibles there, and we're going to take most of our verses from there. We've got a couple of other passages we'll look at that kind of correlate to some of the verses in the 55th Psalm. This is a Psalm of David, and all of the Psalms you can really sense what's on David's heart. That's one of the things I really like about the Psalms. It's almost like David is thinking out loud. And I love that aspect. He's filleted open. Like it says, he's a man after God's own heart. He doesn't put on pretenses, other than with Bathsheba and all that. He did do some stumbling there. But David was a man, you got what you saw with David. And that is a trait that we can all admire, just as people, but especially as a Christian. Anyway, let's get into this, and we'll be look. It's a relatively short passage, 23 verses. I am confident we'll be out by 10:30. I'm sure we'll be out a lot sooner than that. But let's look at this. Got to turn this on. There we go. He starts out, and David says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication." David wants God to hear him. He's getting ready to pour out himself to God, and he doesn't want himself to get in the way of God hearing him. David, for all of his might and power, David was a humble man. You know, it's really easy to be in a position of his being a king, having so much authority and power. It's easy for that to go to your head. And he was humble. And he understood there's things, I don't want anything to stand between me and my prayer to you, God. We see that very concept in Isaiah 59, where it says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." David does not want that to be the case. You know, we are told to lift up holy hands to God. That doesn't necessarily mean to do this. Although, I've seen people do that. That I don't know if I would necessarily tell them, "Put your hands down." They're approaching God. The concept, though, of lifting holy hands, you present yourself holy to God. When you're approaching God Almighty, the creator of everything, we don't have a flippant attitude and just approach God, "Hey, dude." Our iniquities separate us from God. God cannot look upon sin. And so David, go back, you know, David, "Give ear to my prayer, O God. I need you to hear me. My heart is hurting right now. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that." Speaking for myself, there's been times I've gone to God that I haven't even known what to say, other than just, "God, forgive me." And I'm so thankful that He knows the words without me knowing them. But David is starting this discourse out, "Give ear to my prayer, O Lord, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication," knowing that God cannot look upon sin. David's hoping that he's not getting in the way of himself from being able to approach God. And then in the New Testament, we see in Hebrews, we're reminded again with reverence, boldly going before the throne of grace doesn't mean we can strut our stuff and approach God in that way. But we can approach the throne of God. How? Through prayer. That we, as it says, "Let us therefore come boldly," not arrogantly, not disrespectful, but that we can approach the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How often is that the case when we go to God in prayer, that we're wanting grace and help in time of need? That's what David is doing. David is going to God. His heart's broken. He doesn't know which way to turn. Isn't that a sign of a man of God? He doesn't know what to do, but he knows enough to turn to God. He knows that much. That's the avenue that he has available. He goes on to say in verse 2, "Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me." Have you ever been in a situation like that where you feel like Custer, Little Bighorn? You're just, everywhere you turn, there's enemies. It just seems like everywhere you turn is bad news. And when you think about it, even though think about David's life. Most of our recorded information about David, he had enemies. He fought Goliath. Later on, he and the Israelites fought the Philistines. King Saul was after him. King Saul was after a man that all he wanted, he would have been the most loyal, right-hand man Saul could have had. But out of jealousy, out of envy, same thing that put Jesus to death for. Saul is going after David for no reason, out of jealousy. Nothing David did to him, just being a good follower and an obedient, successful warrior for God and for Saul. But because he was more of a better warrior than Saul was, the people were cheering David. Saul didn't like that. He faced enemies on the battlefield. He faced enemies of his own court. I think I'm going to say it right. Ahithophel. I think I said it right. One of his own counselors in 2 Samuel 15 turns against him. It's one thing to have enemies that are on the other side of the field, that's carrying the other flag, and that. But from your own camp, from your own advisors, the people that you turn to, that turn to you, and they're plotting behind you, your own son, Absalom. So when he says, because of the voice of the enemy, which enemy are you talking about? Everywhere you turn, he's being besieged. This was written 3,000 years ago. And it's as applicable today to us as it was to David. He says, my heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Any of those words ring true in our lives? Sometimes you don't even know which way to turn. At least David still had prayer. And he could go to his God in prayer. Verse 6, so I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Have you ever felt like that? Just maybe sometimes wish you could just fly away. Wish you could dig a hole. Wish you could vanish. Do what, you know, one of the Bewitched and move your nose, or I Dream of Jeannie, you know, and just disappear from all. And you wonder why there's so much alcoholism. And you wonder why there's so much drug abuse. And you wonder why there is suicide and depression and stress. David had it. He just wants to go away, but he can't. He says, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. Look at these words here. Violence, strife, iniquity, trouble, destruction, oppression, deceit. Those are things we face. Some of them at other times, some of them at others. David had faced it all. And it was going on all around him. Verse 12, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Talking about Ahithophel, one of his trusted lieutenants, one of his main counselors. You could expect it from an enemy without. You expect them to betray. You expect your enemy out there to do anything they can to kill you. But so close. People that you've took counsel from, that have advised you. And he says, it's not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. You expect it from an enemy. But from your friends. From your brethren. Things like that can tear a congregation up. I've seen it tear congregations up. Unfortunately. What was it? Abraham Lincoln, years before the Civil War, said, could a foreign enemy take a drink by force from the Ohio River? Not in 1,000 years. Could a foreign enemy come into our country? Not at all. He says, if destruction is our lot, it will come from within. Same thing David is saying. I would expect it from the enemy, but not from within. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon the Lord. Excuse me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I almost picture David almost thinking out loud, praying out loud. He's asking God request, but he's also making a proclamation. He's making a promise to God. As for me, I will call upon God. And he's confident that the Lord will save him. He's confident that he shall hear my voice. That's probably the only comfort he's got. And it's through prayer, not riches. It's nothing he can do other than take that avenue of prayer. He can't, as great of a warrior as he was, he can't fight his way out of this circumstance, this heartbroken situation that he's in, that everywhere he looks is enemies. But he's confident, God will hear my voice, and I will call upon God. As for me, they won't, but I will. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. Like we said, everywhere David turned, he had enemies. Foreign nations, giants, even when he was a boy protecting his father's sheep. He fought lions and bears, killed them. He had a lot of enemies. God will hear and afflict them. Even he who abides from of old. Because they do not change. Therefore they do not fear God. But he's saying, I do. And I know he will hear me. And I know he will save me. They don't give any thought to God. They don't respect him. They don't heed his words. But I do, and I always will. David's a great example for us. Man after God's own heart, but yet he wasn't perfect. He stumbled. He stumbled, but he knew where to turn. Verse 20, he has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Talking about Ahithophel. You know, that he's double-crossed me. I would have never done that to him, but he's done it to me. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. It's kind of like that person that greets you with the handshake and the other hand's got the dagger to put in your back. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. There were times that's all David had at his disposal, was that comfort. Cast your burden on the Lord. How many times and when I say we, I'm saying me. How many times do we try to do it ourselves? We just try to put our big boy pants on and I can muscle through this. I can grit my teeth and get through it. I can't do anything. Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit his righteous to be moved. Doesn't mean they won't face trials. We need to distinguish the difference there. That he shall sustain us and not let the righteous to be moved doesn't mean we'll never face trials. How are we to grow? How are we to mature if we don't face those things? I will always remember as a young boy. I don't know the movie. It was probably a John Wayne movie because I watched a whole bunch of them. But there was some blacksmith in the scene. And he's heating that horseshoe up. Heating it up. Pounding the tar out of it. Dunking it in water, heating it up, pounding, putting it in water. It looked pretty well shaped to me. And I asked, as a little boy, asked my dad, why does he keep doing that? My dad said that's making it tougher. It's making the metal stronger. That always stayed with me. Just because the Lord will sustain us and not permit the righteous to be moved doesn't mean we won't face trials. If you have not faced trials as a Christian, I would love to shake your hand. I've never met one. I know I've faced them. David has faced them. But he's confident the Lord shall sustain him. And he ends up, but you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. Again, it's a proclamation, it is a request. He wants vengeance on them. who better for the vengeance than God? God can get it done a lot better than David. Are we ever told to take vengeance anywhere in the Scriptures? I don't know of any. If you know of some, let me know, because I tend to kind of lean that way myself as a person, but I can't find any. The thing that comforts me, that I'm sure it comforted David, God's going to get it done. God's going to get taken care of those people that have done that kind of harm, those deceitful and bloodthirsty men that have been nipping at David. God's going to take care of it. And I'd like, but he ends up, but I will trust in you. Close out with what Paul told the Thessalonica church, starting in verse 6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I'm sure that concept comforted David, knowing that God's people will win, and the enemies, they're going to be destroyed. Short 23 verses there in the 55th Psalm, but says an awful lot. We get not only some insight into David's thought process, but it kind of is one foot in David's life, and I see an awful lot that I can relate to. Sometimes you never know which way to turn. Sometimes you don't even know which way's up. But you know enough to go to God in prayer. And that's what Paul is saying here. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. If you need to respond to the invitation, if we can pray for you, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you have not been baptized, if there's sin in your life that you need to repent of, repent right now from your seat between you and God. If it's a private nature, repent. Don't be one of those deceitful and bloodthirsty people that is against God. If it's a sin of a public nature, between you and somebody else, by all means, repent publicly. But whatever your need, I hope you can take these words and maybe strengthen you this week, maybe reread them sometime later this week. Whatever your need, if we can assist you, please come forward as Kurt leads us in the invitation.